We're on page 69. We're going to begin Perek Gimel, the third Perek of Orot. And remember that Rav Kook, the only things Rav Kook wrote were these things that are in vowels. The rest of the stuff is up to Yehuda. And I will warn you that if you have felt that things are abstract until now, it gets abstracter. You know, much harder. I've read this chapter, I must say, probably 10 or 15 times now. You have to... I don't know what the word is. Just kind of accept it, sort of, you know.
Fly with it.
Not really fly. I mean, you have to sort of. It's very left brain. Put it that way. Is that makes left brain the imagination brain? Very much. Okay. Because he's not. He talks around things. He's not specific. Rav Kook. He speaks in broad generalities, and it's very hard to get a real handle on. One word he's talking about. Okay. Yitzira atzmit yisraelit. Atzmit is individualistic. So an Israeli, an individual Israeli creation. B'machshava, whether in thought, u'betokach hachayim, in the strains of life, ahandifal, and in practice. Yi'afshar liYisrael, ela be'eretz Yisrael. So if you want to create something inherently... The word is not Jewish, because Jewish does not describe it. Yisraeli. It can only be created in Eretz Yisrael.
Jerusalem pizza.
L'umat zot. Okay. L'umat zot. Similarly, correspondingly, we're going to see. Kol ha'nashana ha'na'asem b'Yisrael b'Eretz Yisrael. Anything made... from Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael, mitbatelet hatzura haklalit shebo, legabei hatzura haatzmit hamiyuchada she Yisrael. It's general tzura. A tzura means a shape, but don't think of it in terms of a physical shape. Meaning everything that, according to and according to I guess Kabbalah, everything has an imprint in it. You know, almost like, think about it you take a digital picture, right? So in the digital picture is embedded the picture and information about the picture.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? So what embeds the information about that picture? What you know, so the camera also knows that on the side of the file there's information about the picture. So he says everything in creation has a form to it, a way about it, a spiritual existence about it, a tzura, a form. Okay? And every form has a tzura haklalit, a general existence. Okay? And then something created by a Jew, by Israel, in Eretz Israel, has also a tzura yisraelit. Right? A specific imprint, a Jewish imprint, a Israeli imprint.
It nullifies its general thing, he says.
See, you have to look at it and say, correct, the Tzura Klalit is like broad and vague,
right.
And the Tzura Yisraelit is sharp, yeah. And in focus.
It's
powerful.
It's all an individual GPS,
man. What?
An overlay.
Fine, correct. The overlay is a Tzura Yisraelit.
Right.
Because, and he says, Vizeo Osher.
Detail.
Right. Much of strength, yeah, detail, power.
GPS has it.
Right. Vizeo Osher Gadol Yisrael V'Nolam. And that's great. He says, that's good. It's fortunate. It's powerful. It's good for the world and for the Jewish people.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning, the more Jewish a thing is, the more ruchni it is, the more powerful it is, the more spiritual it is, and the more it can affect the rest of the world. So the Ribbono Shel Olam wants Jewish people to create Jewish things, Israeli things in Eretz Yisrael, and those things have the power and the ability to have a greater effect, they have a greater strength, have a greater spiritual identity.
It's interesting, he doesn't use, you know, Yehudi, and this is before the state was called Israel.
Correct.
So this is predating.
Right, the idea of the Isha Yisraeli, speaks about all the time, mm-hmm. He speaks about the Israeli youth. Right, is the Israelite nature, right? Because Yehudi is almost like
Galuti.
Yeah,
he would never have used the word Palestine.
A cook?
Yeah, he would have said then Eretz Yisrael.
Mm-hmm. Right. Excuse me. Okay, so you just have to sort of accept almost like, I mean, the way I envision it, the way I sort of understand it myself in my own broad terms, like each person, like there are different types of life forces, right? So you have plant life, and you have, you know, you have animal life, and then you have human life. And each one of those has a level of, is it alive? Yes, but the life force of an animal is greater than the life force of a plant. Mm-hmm. But it also includes the plant life force in a sense. And the life force of a human being is that, are you more alive than an animal is?
Mm-hmm.
No. But your life force is more focused, in a sense.
More developed.
More developed. So that's what he's saying. He's saying that tsura of an individual, you have a tsura klali, and you have a tsura ha-yisraeli. And the tsura ha-yisraeli is significantly more powerful, more focused, more developed in the spiritual sense than the tsura klali. Okay? Good. And by the way, it's you who's going to explain all these things, but he's going to have a hard time with it. Be brutally honest with you. Okay. Hachataim shegormim galut. So the sins that cause galut, hein, they are the same sin. Medalchim et amayana etni. Medalchim means to weaken or to pollute, in a sense. The ma'ayan ha'atshmi, the individualistic, the individuals, ma'ayan is the well. The ha'makor, mezil hazalot tmeot, and then that foundation, the makor, the source, it flows, tame flow, that miskan ha'tame and miskan ha'shem time. Right, you have defiled, in a sense, almost like you polluted the source. So if the source is polluted, it's still going to produce. Think about it almost in a sense like an illness. Right? Lo aleinu, if a person has a virus, okay, so then the cells continue to produce other cells.
They're infected with the virus.
Then they're infected with the virus. So the makar is still producing. Right? The flow is still flowing, but it's producing infected flow.
But is he talking about specifically the chait that caused galus?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not the other chait.
Well, what chait do not cause galus?
Right. Now, what I'm saying is, he talking about sinas chinam? Is he talking? Is that what he's getting at, or is he talking about the reason why we lost the base of Mikdash? I mean,
he does not get that specific. His entire chapter.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, you're trying to explain specific things with.
I'm saying when he says because you could say by him writing hachatim shigarim galut, then implies that there are chataim that are not garim galut.
Right, correct.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I don't know what they are. Okay.
But he doesn't define what those sins are.
Okay. He says, but what gets destroyed? So, what becomes destroyed? That individualistic special source, the source of Yisrael, okay, mit aleh, Rav Sivra is going to explain, means removed, right? Hamkoriyut hayisodit lo toh hachelik ha'alyon hatamtziti sheyesh li Yisrael b'skulat ha'adam. So in a sense, that mekoriyut, that fundamental foundation is removed. And it's sort of shifted, right? The specialness of Yisrael is shifted to the part that Yisrael has, b'sgulat ha'adam, in every person. Meaning, in a sense, like we have a life force, Jewish people have a life force, and our life force is also connected to the Tzelem Elokim, to everybody's life force.
What's Tamtzit?
Tamtzit, quintessential.
Okay.
From Tamtzit. Actually, look that one up. Good one. Right, and it's poured out in galut. The land is destroyed. It's silent. And the korban is mechaper. Meaning, when we defile the makor, and the makor is producing almost defiled, flow. So then, what happens is that the makoriyut, in a sense, the specialness of Israel is removed, and we're sent out, and we're spread out among the rest of the people. Not just physically, but spiritually. I'm wondering, what in the world are we talking about? Right? I wish I could answer you. Okay.
You knock me?
What?
Well, I read this book in Russian, it's so abstract.
It's very abstract. This paragraph is very abstract. Okay.
They don't explain it at all.
What?
No explanation. Rosa is no explanation.
Right. So then, Hamayan posek b'lahaziel, the source stops flowing. Humistaneb kima kima. So when you turn off the spigot, right, it can become cleansed. V'halfaot shel chayim ha'machshava yotzot derech ha'chinor ha'klali. And then these spiritual manifestations and life and thought, they emanate from the chinor ha'klali, from the general spigot.
To your human,
correct, humanity element.
But you lose your Jewish
correct
perspective.
That perspective, no, you're
it
using Jewish.
It sounds so out there. I mean, it just sounds.
What does it mean? That's the question. What does it mean? Meaning the specialness of the Jewish people is almost
lost.
What you're
saying is, like you said,
you
become kechol hagoyim.
In a sense,
exactly.
Right.
Yeah. You lose your identity.
We're coming like kechol hagoyim.
Right, but don't, you know, like,
the more you go away from your Jewish.
Not identity.
Internet.
The same person's going to say he's Jewish. It's a more of an internal thing. It's a quality that...
It's a tzurah. It's an aspect.
You're,
it's
what are you saying about that?
You're
by Shonim, Remy Chassadim,
no,
and
you're
Rahmanim.
Thinking about specific attributes.
It's a spiritual aspect.
You're drawing back to your most basic pentalihid, which is all that's left. That little hair inside of you is all that's left. Instead of this big fire burning inside of you, which is saying...
Right, no, but he's saying,
it's directing my
think of Klal Yisrael as your assimilated Reformed Jew.
Okay.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Right.
Not like, you know, okay, the difference between us, you know, people who are connected to the Rosh Hashanah, but try to, and you're a Reformed Jew, he says, that's the difference, that's what happened to the Jewish people. The Tzura HaKlali, the Tzura Miuchedet of Am Yisrael, has become the assimilated Reformed Jew.
Right.
And the goodness in him, he is a goodness of humanity, but it's not. But his Jewishness is not of us. We are.
No, we.
You understand what I'm saying?
We've been stripped of what we were, like,
right
to be
correct.
Manifesting.
Correct.
And that manifestation is now reduced to like a little.
Correct, and you can see it. Right.
Yeah.
Right. Like a tickle.
Sure.
Okay. And then, so the faucet has to stop. It has to become cleansed.
Well, what does mistanen mean again?
Mistanen is filtered.
Filtered,
yes. Right?
Okay.
Purified. It's filtered. The chayim shemashavah. Okay. Shupazor lechol haolam kula. Right. That this general, this general flow spreads to the whole world. Ka'arbar lechol hashamayim peirashti etchem. Right. I've spread you like to the four winds of the earth. Ad asher hazalot atmeot hapratiot mitpaskot. Until those defiled flows stop. Because you have to like turn off the spigot. It has to become cleansed. Right? And then the makor can return to its tahara. And then why do the Jewish people have to go in galut? Because the tzinor had to be mitaher. Right? The tzinor haprati, the Yisraeli, the Jewish aspect was, we defiled it.
Right.
So we had to leave in order for us, for the defilement to stop the flow, and then it could become cleansed, right? Almost nature cleanses it in itself, and then it could start flowing again. Mm-hmm. But once it starts flowing again, what are we doing here?
Well, maybe that's part of the purification process.
No, the purification is done, so then we have to go again and reattach ourselves to it. It starts to flow again. So galut is miuteret.
I mean, that's one way of saying it.
In essence, galut. And galut is like,
maybe
if you could connect to the makor, but instead, what are we getting our flow from? We're getting it through the tzidor haklali.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's like you're getting your internet connection. You could have a T1, right? And you're getting it through, like, dial-up.
All right.
Who needs that?
In T3?
Right. Right.
Fias.
Oh, sorry, I apologize. Well, you know what I'm saying? But how rak lalit, right? And then the general light, choserhi liyob novak meha mayan hatzmaya prati b'chol chelo. Remember that the ideal way the world functions is that the foundation, the flow, is supposed to come from our specific flow, from the thing that's in the yuchad about Am Yisrael. Right? Hashem is supposed to shine upon us. We are this bright light, and this bright light flows to the rest of the world. But when our light is out, so then Hashem has kind of spread his light to the rest of the world, and it's very dim.
Right.
Okay. Then, about Rosh HaMashiach, HaMekabetim, the letter Mashiach that gathers those exiles begins to appear. And the call of Rachel, mitmatek, ayde shifat tachanunim, mitmatek. I didn't look up that word. No. My talk could be sweetened, just sweetened. I didn't look up that word. Okay.
I think that the...
On the through the law of consoling, of shalmini kolech mivech, v'nech
mivech,
v'nech mivech, right? There was reward, v'shav v'eretz ayeh, v'yesh tikva l'ech v'tech, v'nech mashem, v'shav v'anim l'gvulam. Okay, it's interesting why he quotes the whole pasuk, I'm not sure. ויצירת החיים המיוחדים בכל מעורם וחטיביותם המיוחדה, this creation of this חיים מיוחדים. Remember, he says that Jews, Israelim, are supposed to live חיים מיוחדים. מיוחד means special, specific life. Okay? And all of their light, חטיבה, right?
Yeah.
Their specificity.
Right.
המיוחדה, specialness. רבויה בתל האושר הכללי של האדם הגדול בענקים. Revuya, revaya is, I think,
overflowing.
Thank you. Right. Overflows with the dew of osher, well-being, of Agdam Hagadol ba'anakim, who grows with the giants, Birchan Abraham, of Abraham, Choser Hidavka, the Shivazu, the Hidgalod, and it returns to this return of this revelation. The Heyei Bracha will be a Bracha, Becha Chotmim, meaning Abraham Avinu was the first one to reveal because Rav is presence in the world, right? And then, so he becomes the light through which the spirituality flows, and we become, right, we are the spiritual,
recipients.
Yeah, recipients. Okay, everyone knew exactly what Rav Zivi, Rav Yehud, Rav Kook is talking about?
Sure.
Yeah, right, sure. It's hard, it's very hard. You have to kind of, you know, I think he's talking about extremely deep concepts, this idea of the tzurah of Klal Yisrael, the face, the shape of Klal Yisrael.
I think that he explains a lot of the things you see today. Like you have Jews involved with all these things.
Right.
Not related to Yiddish stuff.
Right.
But they're very, quote, Jewish kind of...
social causes.
Yeah. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's sort
peace
of like...
Saving
people in...
In Darfur.
And wherever.
Right, correct.
You know what I'm saying? Are involved with everything.
Right.
Or donating a lot of money towards the dog's rescue. Remember the veteran?
That's unbelievable. Yeah, it's incredible. I mean, but the idea being that we're not supposed to do those things, but what we're supposed to do, then that light shines to the rest of the world.
Right. Everybody else follows suit.
Right. Okay. Correct. But unfortunately, what we've tried to do...
put our focus on that.
Right. Right, but you're looking at it in a much more specific way than I envision Rev Cook is talking about it. He talks about it in a sort of, like, what's the imprint? Does it have a Jewish imprint or does it not? Is it a Jewish creation or is it not a Jewish creation? And those are very different things.
But it comes from sins. I think that, to me, the key sentence there is ha-chatayim she-gormim galut em heim she-medalfim samayan ha-asim.
Yeah.
That sentence right there.
Yeah.
To me is the key sentence of the whole thing.
Correct. Meaning if you have a spiritual imprint, when you do a sin, certain sin, that affects your spiritual imprint.
It's a little bit like what Rav Soloveitchik was saying in Al HaTshuva. Right? A little bit like when you're sick.
Yes. Correct. Well said.
Like you're sick.
It creates
it's
a spiritual
like
a sickness. Right. A machala. But that machala, by the way, lo aleinu, God forbid, a person is sick. So his face changes.
That's right.
He looks different.
His strength is sapped.
Yeah. So the Jewish nation, our strength becomes sapped, and our sickness becomes almost perpetuating. It perpetuates itself. You know, and the very strength of the Jewish people becomes our greatest weakness, in a sense. A little frightening. Okay. Page 71. Biperek zeh yesh beirur ubihirut b'muvan aruchani shel Yisrael be'eretz Yisrael b'shnei matzaveihem. There is a clarification and an explanation of this, the understanding a muvan aruchani from a spiritual understanding of Israel and Eretz Yisrael b'shnei matzaveihem in their two situations, matzav abriyut or matzav agadut, situation of health and exile. He matzut be'eretz Yisrael. When we are in Eretz Yisrael, he matzav atv. That's natural. Zeh mekomenu atibi, anormali, habari. That's our place. Normal, healthy. Kasher ze acherek, kasher ze nehevech, ze matzav lo tivi, galut. Okay, that's first and foremost, right? When we're healthy, we're in our place where we're supposed to be. We're doing what we're supposed to be doing. But if we're not where we're supposed to be, that's unhealthy. Ikar hashraat hashchina be'eretz Yisrael. So you have to understand, right? And this is something we all accept, right? That God's shchina dwells in Eretz Yisrael. Ikar hashraat hanebuah be'eretz Yisrael. Prophecies in Israel. Hatzlachat hanebuah be'eretz Yisrael. Success in prophecy. Hatzlachat haTorah be'eretz Yisrael. Ikar haTorah be'eretz Yisrael. B'chol muvanim. The essence of Torah. B'limud, b'halachot, b'agadot, b'hashava, b'yetzirah, creativity. The Eretz Yisrael mofia gadlut mikorit amitit. Like all these things, they appear in their greatness and truth. The whole mashenimshach umistayfim and everything that mistayfim branches out. Okay, from Seif. Should have known that one actually. So, and by the way, this is something we take for granted, correct? Right? We take for granted that keeping the Torah and learning the Torah and the idea of Torah and the Jewish existence in Eretz Yisrael is fundamentally more rich, more powerful, more ideal, more healthy, more everything than it is here. Does anybody disagree with that? Right, so Rabbi Kook. What?
No, I mean, it's
more than that. If that's a result.
What did you say?
Have you Eretz Yisrael?
But yeah. This is like a very idealistic statement. You know what I'm saying? Like,
No, idealistic.
I think he's saying it's just true.
He's setting precedent.
I really think he's saying this is the truth. This is what it is.
No, right. But I'm saying it's not just being.
It's
there,
possible that people can't take advantage of it, and you're allowed to leave for different reasons.
That's not the question.
Not that it does. It would be better if everybody would have been learning there, that you wouldn't have to go to find someplace else. Is what he's saying.
You know, it's almost like, you know, I think he believes, let's say, you know, like in Eretz Yisrael, the oxygen mixture is correct. You know what I'm saying? In Gullus, you know, people have trouble breathing. So, where would you go? You know, like if somebody has allergies, so where do they go? They go to Nevada, they go to the desert, because they can't breathe here. Because you have to imagine that, you know, Jews can't breathe in Gullus, in a sense, spiritually.
In the ideal sense.
Right. Now, here's the trick. If you've been breathing your whole life... What?
That's what I was trying to say, but it's an ideal, yeah.
No, I don't think he's... I'm leaving the ideal sense. I don't think he's saying that. No, he's not saying the ideal sense. He's saying in a very real sense, not where we belong ideally. He's saying that you've been breathing this air for so long...
Breathes to pollution.
You don't even know it's polluted anymore. It's not that it's ideal. It's that you're sick.
Your abilities have lessened, but you become acclimated.
Sure. If a person, Lo Aleinu, you know, he was anemic... And you grew up in Enoch, like, or, you know what I'm saying?
Living on oxygen.
Right?
We got.
Yeah, really, in a real sense, like a person like never had glasses. His whole life. And he didn't know there was such a thing as glasses.
He used to not see.
He just couldn't see. And then one day somebody shows him, and you know, look what happens when we do this.
Your prescription.
Right.
Wow.
But would he have considered himself sick or more disabled in any way if he could have functioned? He's not going to function.
It's not just goals, then. Even in this modern day tomatoes, if somebody has to leave their... Eretz Yisrael, also, it's not a function of galus.
It's not a function,
of chutz la'aretz, is what he's saying.
It's a little close.
Because I'm wondering, because the way he put it,
I would think he would say chutz la'aretz
only because of...
No, it's both. Because when Bnei Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael, and you personally have to go out for whatever reason, fine, you're leaving, but you're inherently connected to Eretz Yisrael.
Mm-hmm.
The Jewish people are in their state of strength.
Okay.
You understand what I'm saying? You know, so you're not going to leave, but you know, you have an oxygen tank with you, in a sense. Like everything, you're just in. It's almost like a person who's in generally good health, and then he goes into a polluted area. You know what I'm saying? So he brings his health with him, and the pollution can get to him after a while. But what's the difference between him and the guy who's lived in the polluted area his whole life? They're not comparable. Okay. So he says, "Yitzira atzmit Yisraeli." So now remember, he's going to go through what Cook says. Okay, b'ruchnius u'b'masios, spiritually and practically. But machshava or betoken chayim in thought in tokef chayim. How do you translate that? Tokef chayim. Tokef is
strength of life.
Strength of life. I think he's saying life is more vital, right? The vitality of life. But the hamifal and the practicality. Yashar liYisrael el be'eretz Yisrael. Right. The bnei Yisrael, Am Yisrael, cannot live a vital life outside of Eretz Yisrael. Right? That's our natural place, the era of Israel. But if you said Eretz Yisrael, holiness. But open acher, right? In other ways, you admat nechar, right? You know, outside of Israel, admat nechar. Be'ech meshirat shirasem, al admat nechar. Ze'alef shekodem lakol. And I think that that's a fundamental thing for us to understand. That Rav Kook, I mean, Rav Kook, I think he wrote this. When did he write it? He wrote it before he came to Eretz Yisrael, correct? No, wrote. I don't even know. I don't know when he wrote it. But you know, almost to understand that we're in such a situation where we don't even realize something's missing.
That's something I can understand. Like you said, we each one of us have had situations similar to your guy who grew up without glasses and then were shown glasses. Everybody can find those situations.
Yes.
Oh, if I would have known that.
Why didn't I do this 20 years earlier?
Exactly.
But you're going talking about feet there. I didn't wear glasses to wear the feet.
No, I'm talking about.
I understand. I couldn't see, but you say grew up without glasses, right?
No, he grew up without, but needed them and didn't realize. He compensated.
If we knew this,
where did you grow up?
Where
did you grow up? Yeah.
Leningrad.
How was how was life in Leningrad?
Tough.
Did you realize it at the time when you were a young boy growing up?
I realized some of us, but.
You didn't realize how bad life in Leningrad really was until you got here, right?
I saw there was a good reason. Okay, it's difficult, but there was a good reason. I was going to improve.
Yeah, and then it was going to.
I know, but I know exactly some.
But when you come here,
you
can
talk about it. Right. Oh,
yes.
We don't. Well, maybe because you don't know what.
Yeah, you're right. Be happy.
Exactly.
Be happy. You don't know. That's exactly what
ignorance is bliss because sure. You don't know what to compare it to.
Right. Now the trouble is in Eretz Yisrael it's imperceptible. It's very hard to perceive. You have to really have your feelers out to perceive it.
In his life, he wrote this. Can you imagine people living in Europe say, go to Israel and you'll see how much better it's gonna be.
No.
Malaria.
Right.
Malaria.
Plus but he's talking about the spiritual Eretz Yisrael. Plus like a lot of this is dependent upon Am Yisrael. Realizing its true nature in Eretz
Yisrael.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, no, but don't think of it just in terms of Yisrael Mitzvahs. Realizing, he looked at it in terms of fulfilling our destiny and realizing our potential as Am Yisrael.
What would have been the telltale signs in his era that people could have latched on to say, wow, now we see what you mean?
What would have been in his era?
In his era.
Other than, during Rav Kook's lifetime, the establishment and creation of the State of Israel?
Other than that?
He wasn't. When did he die?
He died a little before.
Yeah.
But the British Mandate, and the Shiva Zion, and the building of the...
Yeah, what about the rise of Hitler starting?
He gets to that. We're going to get to Milchama. Hold on. Let's talk about war later. But, you know, but...
So in other words, people theoretically, like Rav Teichel said, if they don't have their minds, they would have understood that there was something.
Rav Kook is coming in from a totally different point of view. Rav Teichel was showing you the fundamental nature. Rav Teichel's whole thing was like, let me show you like a zillion sources for how important Eretz Yisrael is. Just Eretz, but Rav Kook goes like so much deeper and is saying to you, I'm not going to tell you Eretz Yisrael is important. I take that for granted.
That's the Aleph.
Right, Aleph.
That's what he was saying.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you why and how.
See, that's not the Aleph and what we're taught. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Now, when I say we, I mean everybody.
Sure.
I don't mean just
even
in America.
Even Zionism. I'm a Zionist. I support the State of Israel. I think it's important. I believe
but
in Israel.
Attached understanding.
Right. This has nothing to do with like he's like so much deeper. He says it's not that you should support Israel. It's that you need Israel. Israel is so much a part of you that you don't even understand what you're missing without it. You know what I'm saying? It's very, very different. It's much, much, much deeper. Much, much, much richer.
Yeah, I don't even think he's talking about the state.
No, he's not.
He's talking about the state.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. And he saw the state as just one more step in the realization of this ultimate...
Brings everybody. It says the way to get that.
Right. One gets a sense, by the way, that just from reading this kind of stuff, a huge swath of religious Zionism really got away from Rav Kook.
That's what I was trying to say before.
Doesn't it seem that way?
They're really representing what he.
Well, I mean, they got so stuck on
physical land,
right? Are we reaching our potential?
Is this really what Rav Kook meant? Do you know what I'm saying?
Right. Realizing and actualizing the dream as opposed to. You know, as opposed to fulfilling, you know, what his desire was. Very hard.
Yeah.
Not so simple. Okay. Lumatzeh, we're on page 72, I think. Top 72. Lumatzeh, 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 good, not opposite, not instead of. Oh, the Hetem was there, corresponding to this. Al Pizeh, based on this, the Chibun has in this direction. Right?
What is that?
That's Lumatzeh. What?
He said
Elam. The Hetem. Hetem is in Matim was there, right? In our connection to.
How connection?
Okay, Lumatzeh, v'chibun hazeh, in this direction, kol anasav Yisrael, anasav anamid b'masiyot u'b'uchanut, anything Jewish that's done, either in practical, in practicality, or in spirituality. Kol hanyanim sh'yahadut sh'yisrael anasim b'eretz Yisrael, anything done for Judaism, of Jewishness, in Eretz Yisrael, yesh ben gam tzad shel klaliyut v'elohiyut. It has both. It has general klaliyut, benefit for the world, and it has Elohim, it has spirituality, godliness. Avakan v'Eretz Yisrael, heim anachnu. But in Eretz Yisrael, it's ours. It's something we have done. Anachnu le'umim yuchadim, our national, specific nationality. Specifiyim, specific, egoistiyim. Like egotistical. In the sense, this is a, he'll be very specific. Kol anasav Yisrael v'Eretz Yisrael, anything done in Israel, tzurato haklalit b'teila, its general form is negated, l'gabei ha-miyuchadus v'sidi shelanu ha-yisraeli, ha-Eretz Yisraeli. Right? It is Eretz Yisraeli, it's specific. It's stamped on it, without even saying it, made in Israel. Jewish, Yisraeli. That's its form. L'umadzeh. In this vein, kol nasek b'chol avonim in every understanding, hamasim aruchaniim, alidei Yisraeli v'Eretz Yisrael, whether it's spiritual or practical, mitbatelet hatzurah klalit shebo legabei hatzurah mitam yuchadash sheYisrael. Its general form is negated to that of the Eretz Yisrael. Ha'erech ha'atzmi ha'Yisraeli ha'atzmi ha'miyuchad. This value, this form, this shape, lechol advarim hamasim aruchaniim. Everything that's done has very importance, great importance from a broad perspective. But it's not. That's not what the ikar is. The main point. It's what's specifically Jewish about it. What's Israeli about it? Again, he says it a number of times. That's specific. You see, Rabbi Yehuda Stretch struggling to explain this idea. So, what does he do? Just repeats it over and over again. So he's explaining. And one gets a sense that he says, it is what it is. You just have to kind of accept it. Right? Understand that everything, this cup was made in, Dixie. Okay? It is not a Jewish cup. It is not Jewish. It's a cup. Okay, but that Kabbalah candle, or that Becher, that Kiddush cup, is a Jewish cup. It's a Yisraeli cup.
It has inherent qualities.
A quality of Yisraeliut. You ask me, what does that mean? Dov?
If you could see its aura, it would shine differently.
Yes, if you could look at it with spiritual glasses.
Right.
In the Matrix, it has different colors.
It was brought forth from the land, it was...
Oh, you never saw the Matrix, did you?
It is.
Yeah. In some sense, right, it has a different spiritual quality. That's what he says. Mami's kavena rabbi tzirakoli. So I'm going to Syria. So what in the world is he talking about?
What about something trace comes from Eretz Yisrael?
Oh, so what would he say? That's a hazalat meyah?
But how could that be?
What do you mean?
It's from Eretz Yisrael.
The chatayim?
So that should even be worse?
Sure.
Yeah. That's what we say in the Aveira. What's in the Aveira? You're taking the hand that God gave you.
Sure, something that's metame in the mikdash, tumas mikdash, steer cars. It's worse. Right? I think that's one of the reasons that people say they're afraid. There's an intimidation factor of going to Eretz Yisrael because it requires a greater level of kedusha.
Right.
And maybe we're on the level. We have to wait for Mashiach to come. Right? That's true. Right? Your mistakes are magnified, just like your accomplishments are magnified. So he says, okay, I'll answer you now. So I was praying with your team. All right, let's go. It's simple things. Kol davar sheshayach l'Yisrael b'Eretz Yisrael hu shelanu. Anything that's shayach to the Eretz Yisrael, the Jewish people, is ours. Miyuchad, specific. You notice he says, he keeps saying it again and again. Specific and unique. Gam yim yashan in so ze'ei ze'erech. is a chashivut klalit. You can find some value, some importance, right? It's a kirishkap. You can drink from it. Is a chalil, a sound, a tzilzul, a ring, or a had gam klali, or an echo, a general echo. Haikar hamuchat shalanu. That's not what it's all about. It's not that it's just a cup or a kiddush cup made somewhere. It's specific. It's ours. Bipatela tzitzirak lalichibo legabei haikar atzmi hamuchat shalanu. Again, what did Rav Tzihuda just do?
He repeated it.
Can you explain it? Please explain it. He says, I'll say it again, and I'll say it again,
It's done differently.
You have to, what the students are asking for, and if you're asking yourself for a specific explanation to this, it's not a specific idea.
I think they're saying, are you being racist?
No. They're not asking him that. He clearly is not being racist.
He's saying it's a spiritual...
Egotistical.
You're putting it into place. There's a fact.
It is what it is.
Right.
Think about it in terms of a cell. Okay? Is the nucleus of the cell an arrogant?
No. It's in the teeth that it's the center.
It is. It just is.
Right.
No nucleus, no cell. A little less cytoplasm. Did I use the right term?
All right.
Mr. Fairlach. Little another, you know, but no nucleus. The nucleus isn't proper.
It loses its identity.
All things gone.
They remove the nucleus in some cells.
I saw the book and I'm reading the book, and it says you try to explain something, whatever, in the way you're killing it.
Right.
If you analyze it, then you compare.
Correct. If you have trouble with this, I'd say again, read it again and again.
So you're moving into something.
This is the first time I've ever studied something like this. And I said it before, that it's a new experience. These are things that you can't
put your finger on.
No, you cannot put your finger on. You have to absorb them. You just have to let them sort of, you know what I'm saying? You have to let them sort of wash over you and
something you can prove. It's something that you can imagine.
Right. Correct.
It's like intuition.
I can imagine that the tumor if tumor would radiate slightly a different look. I can imagine that.
Right.
But I couldn't definitively show you what it is.
Right. Right. It's an abstract reality.
Right. But it's factual as long as I keep it in the imagination.
You know, I find this learning extremely exciting.
As long as you accept the premise.
No, as right. long as you're
I understand what you're saying, right. That's why you could come along and say this is all bunch of malarkey.
Yeah. But so how do you explain
it? Let me tell you what it is.
No, by the way, this is what Rasivan was explaining the whole thing. He said you have to accept the idea of Agada in order to understand. In order to appreciate the specialness of this is Agada. This is like, you know.
No, let me give you a good thing that I analogy, Please. Analogous to.
Yeah.
They had like a whole argument when Cecil B. DeMille made the Ten Commandments. People were arguing, don't go to see it, and others were saying, go and see it because it's tremendous. The concept of the camp that said don't see it is for not because whether he was right or wrong. But when I ask when I ask you to think of Moshe Rabbeinu, what do you think? Do you see him with a beard? Do you see him clean shaven? Do you see him with a robe? You have in your mind's eye a very fuzzy picture that's extremely clear. It's truly clear but fuzzy. The moment that you all of a sudden can say child in essence face, it destroys that ability for your mind to fly.
Right.
And now, the same way Avraham Avinu, you want a picture of him? No, then you lost.
All right, that's a little bit different. Because you were talking about, you ever see those 3D pictures?
Yeah, holograms.
Right. So, you have to learn, when you look at these 3D pictures, you have to learn to stop, to unfocus your eyes. Because the eye
about the Wizzy Nodwig.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about.
Seeing eye.
Because your eye is trained to focus. So we've been learning our whole lives, like in yeshiva, they train you to what's a hakira, what's a nafkamina.
Right.
Tell me the nafkamina. I want to know
see a three dimensional picture that wasn't there before.
Correct. But in this case, there is no nafkamina that I can explain to you.
That also.
Oh, sure.
He comes from that.
Sure.
You know, so it's a little bit like.
Right, but it's a koach to be able to, because somebody's going to look at that picture. This is the dumbest picture ever. It's a picture of nothing.
A fuzz, and the other person's going to see this clarity.
Yeah. Right. It's like Gabe, you were saying before, you're right. You can't argue about this. This is not a debatable thing.
Right.
You either accept it or you don't. You know, and you either.
But if you don't, then it's sort of like.
It passes you by.
Well, if you don't, then you're negating. How should we say this? You're negating.
Basically, according to him,
don't get me wrong, but there is
negating the obvious.
Right, he says you're negating the obvious. Like, do we accept the idea of paradise or not? Is there so or not?
No, but I'm saying it's not like one of the 13 Ikarim that the Rambam brings.
Ikari Amuna are like...
he would say, no, this is so essential that the Rambam didn't have to even bring it.
Yes.
The underlying
it comes back, correct.
Yeah.
No, but he's saying, right, if you don't believe in this, you don't believe in Yom. That's correct. But he said he needs to learn that.
Well, you have a very, very different...
And cut off perspective of Judaism.
You don't have a complete understanding.
So that's what he's saying. Like, if you believe in Kabbalah, or the existence of Kabbalah, you don't have to know it. You have to believe it exists.
That's where the difference clearly
I don't agree. I don't agree.
Because you would say that everybody accepts
it. Who doesn't? You know, somebody tells you. Would anybody in this community, any foreign person say, Kabbalah's a bunch of malarkey, somebody made it up, it doesn't make any sense whatsoever, and people were wasting their time with it.
But what they would say is, because I don't understand it, I have to default to what I do. Halacha gives me parameters that I live
by. Good, and that's what Rav Teitel did. And he said, good, what's the halacha? Move to Eretz Yisrael. That's what he did. That was his book.
Right.
His book was, there was none of this in that.
Correct.
Right? So now Rav Cook is coming along and saying, okay, you know, I'm not giving you halacha. This is not halacha. This is broader. This is a foundation. This is the fundamentals of everything. And understand that when you really want to get down to it, you want to understand what it's all about, you have to understand that just how fundamental Eretz Yisrael is to understanding what real Torah Judaism is all about.
But he must have had a really hard time reconciling with everybody else who didn't agree with him. I mean, that must have been...
That was chapter 2. You got to fight people who are... She tells me, utatalesed.
I know, but...
You know, lacking vitality. They don't get it.
It's a different thing.
They don't get it.
It's apples and oranges. No, it's not like one thing...
When you come to somebody
who has
a malady, you don't say you're terrible because you have it. You say, I feel sorry that...
Cook had love for every...
I understand that. But I told you that story that I heard about, you know, his uncle, he treats everybody like his uncle, so therefore he would walk out
there. Right.
But I'm saying, it's like saying, okay, I like challah with sesame seeds, and you like
challah
with him, it's saying, like, you don't even have a challah.
Correct. Yeah, you understand, you think you're eating challah, you're eating matzah.
Right,
you're eating stale, dry pizza.
You know what I'm saying? That is like a really...
See, the irony is, it doesn't matter, because Rav Cook will have won in the end. Because everyone will agree. I was talking to a mentor of mine, and he said, the nitzchus of Am Yisrael is an Eretz Yisrael.
Yeah,
everyone knows this. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So it doesn't matter if you agree with me or you don't agree with me.
Right.
Because in the end, the fact that you don't agree with Rav Cook and you didn't follow this, all it means is you're just delaying the inevitable. You understand what I'm saying? If you would go along, if you would agree with him, and we would all work together,
they would say that would be the ideal form. I mean,
right. You know what I'm saying? Rav Cook was Haredi, by the way. He wasn't like modern Orthodox. You know what I'm saying? He didn't... The things that we, you know, he was a Haredi. But he said, this is what it is. This is, you know, how it is.
That's what I'm saying. For me, it sounds more like the Nitzim. It sounds a lot more like the Vilna Gaon.
Vilna Gaon, yes.
Sounds like Nefesh HaChayim, you know.
Yes.
Well, then it's also very into this kind of stuff.
Correct. Correct. They just lived before it was feasible to do.
Yeah, okay.
So then what happened, though?
What happened? Yeah, what happened, you know?
Right. Why didn't it catch on, or why was
right.
it?
Or why was it only toe-faced by a certain, you know what I mean?
Excitement.
Yeah.
Of the Orthodox population.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You know what I mean?
I don't know. It's a really good question. You know, then you get into like geopolitical forces and why were they against Israel, and you know what I'm saying? Rav Cook has to explain, you know. Why is, you know, like, then you get into the questions of why did Eretz Yisrael have to happen davka through the people that...
Right. Okay.
And maybe Rav Cook would argue, well, if you would have done it, we wouldn't have the issue.
That's what Rav Teitel says.
Right.
Yeah, or maybe we would...
Or the flip side.
Rav Cook has to explain it better. Rav Teitel can say that. Rav Cook has to explain better. He has to explain...
He can explain it spiritually based on the pshat of Yehud and Tamar. Why did it have to happen through there, the famous pshat? Because that was going to bring Kedusha to the world of Malchus Beis David, and the Yetzirah and the Tzatzit would never have allowed it. So Kadosh Baruch Hu allowed it to come
to
such a
way
that you would have thought, oh, go ahead, go for it, Yehuda.
That's what they call splaining.
It's called... It's called through the back door.
Yeah, right. That's like hindsight. Oh, since it was like that, it must have been that. It had to be like that.
No, that's all going into soul.
Has to explain. Cook has to explain spiritually why it had to be. I mean, I'm sure he does it at some point, but I'm not even close. Yeah, you know what I'm saying.
Read Rabbi Willig's piece this week on the Torah web. It says the Bar Torah.
I'll take a look. All right.
Remember what he says.
This is also mean physical things, not just spiritual things. Meaning, I understand like a spiritual creation, a spiritual idea in Eretz Yisrael, like a Jewish creation. But does that have anything to do with? Does that also express itself in physical things? Ha'chaim answer. Ha'chaim kolodim gam mifal. Yeah, life is also a practical thing. Ha'chaim hem b'chiyut v'klal. It's existence. Kama nachmi b'bayit. We're home. B'mishpacha, our family. B'miyuchat shalanu. Where we belong. You know, and think about how different a person operates in when he's in familiar and belonging surroundings and when he's not.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Yeshnam dvarim shechola liyod bahem eizah chashivut klalit. Certain things can have, you know, sure, general importance. Aval ikam yuchad shalanu. But the important thing is that which is specific for us. So like, does it make a difference if you build a plane in Israel or you build one in Seattle?
Or your cup.
My cup? Tshuva b'vaday! Yes! The Eretz Yisrael zu b'riyut, v'chutz la'aretz zeh lo b'riyut. And what he means is, it's not the plane that's built. For a Jew to build a plane in Israel is b'riyut. It's a manifestation of the health of Am Yisrael. But for a Jew to go to chutz la'aretz and build a plane? Hakom yishtaneh, everything is different. There's an idea on the name of Chavetz Chaim that expresses this. Who Omer? Sure, there are mitzvahs that can be done in Eretz Yisrael. But mitzvahs that also are not in Mekayimim with Eretz. If you fulfill them in Eretz Yisrael, dugma, for example, Minchim Tzvim Eretz Yisrael, Ba'ayin Charud, right, with the trembling. If you put on tefillin in Israel, Yesh Lezeh Erech Kmo Esrim Pa'amim Otar Rabah B'chutz La'aretz.
Wow.
It's 20 times as valuable as doing it in the Chutz La'aretz.
Where did you get that from, though?
When Chavetz Chaim said it.
Well, look at number 8.
Yeah, you want to read the footnote?
Yeah, read it.
Okay. Ibatosh Baal Chavetz Chaim, Zecha Zadig Yibracha Ki, says, Kol mitzvah Adam Yisrael Mikayim Be'eretz Yisrael, Chashuva Kamo Esrim Mitzvah Chutz La'aretz. That's what the Chavetz Chaim said. Okay?
Where did he get it?
מביא בידי ביטוי נמרץ את הבחנת הערך המיוחד שבין ארץ ישראל לחוץ, אל החוץ, לחום מבני חייו ולכל של אדם בישראל. So he said, that expresses, right, the value of life. בניסוח של הקבלה כמותית, יש בזה גם הקבלה איכותית. It's not just a quantitative quality, it's a qualitative quality. לא זו בלבד שארץ קובעת את ערך שלי מיתה של התורה בעצמה. I don't know that the Torah expresses, right, its completeness. Shall ha'arata nafshit v'havanat hata sichlit. Right, its expression of its light, its spirituality, and its understanding. Kmo kiyuma ma'asi, she'ein torak eretz yisrael, lo chachmak v'chamad yisrael. I don't know that the Torah itself is quantitatively better. Amnam, lo zu bovad, lo shagam l'chol sidri ha'chaim ha'pratim shel olam yisrael, in every aspect of life. Gam l'chol mitzvah m'mitzvotel sh'islam, mikamit ha'idei adam yisrael. But think about it this way, right? You know, you grow a seed in sand, or you grow seeds in fertilized, you know. Is it going to grow? The same seeds, maybe they'll grow. But
it could be very weak.
Weak? Right? The Torah was meant to be kept in Israel. And the Ramban says this. Ramban alludes to this. Mm-hmm. He basically says, and we all know the famous statement of the Ramban, he basically says that the reason why you do mitzvahs and chutzaretz is it's practice for when you get back to Israel. And I think that's an allusion to this very same idea. Right? It's the same movement, the same thing. But it's qualitatively different. It's like, you know.
This has to do with Eretz Yisrael today.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, if you will
No, that's what I'm saying. This
if you hold what?
The Kedushas Eretz Yisrael is
not saying. It doesn't matter if you said Eretz Yisrael. It doesn't matter.
He just now said Chofetz Chaim. Do you do the same tefillin?
Because he does. I think it's because he does hold
it. What do you mean?
The Kedushas Eretz Yisrael is
for. I think it's independent. If you do it in Eretz Yisrael, that's where you belong. So we're second line from the bottom on 72. We're going to finish this chapter. This paragraph. Ha'im echashbon ubi diyug achal le'asli and it's a 1 to 20. Zayim echashbon, it doesn't matter. Alazot ha'agasha. It's a feeling. All the expressions of the Chafetz Chaim were practical. Right? Everything's practical. Yesh kan bruyut. Here in Israel, there's health. Normaliut, the koriut. There's originality. Tiviut, naturalness. Haikardu atzara atzara atzmi. It's the individualistic side. It's specific. Ayahaduti, ayisraeli. The Jewish aspect. Ha'eretz Yisraeli. You know, so you think about it. The thing that appeals to people when they go to Israel is all Jewish. So he says, but the mitzvahs are Jewish. You know what I'm saying? And it's not just that they feel it, you can sense the cake is Jewish. Right? You know?
Authentic.
It's authentic. But he means it in a very real way. It's all Jewish. Yeah. He says, now you can say that smallness or pratiyut. Pratiyut is partiality or a specificity. Egoizim ruchanit. Spiritual egotistic egotism about Bemet Zehu Osher Gadol Yisrael Lo'olam. He says, yes, it is. It is. He says, but it's good for us and it's good for them. It's good for the world. Right? When we, you know, when we are egotistical about ourselves, that brings bracha to the world. And when we aren't,
spiritually,
spiritual bracha. And when we're not, that brings, that's bad for the world. If everybody thinks like, oh, you know, for us to be, you know, Jewish, to be spiritually haughty, that's, you know, who are we to say we're better than everyone? It's not a question of better. We're Jewish. The more Jewish pride we have, the more efforts and endeavors we make to be more Jewish, the more Jewish we are, the better it is for the world. Let me finish the thing. Ashreinu, Zeh Osher Gadol, this is our fortune. Shagalut HaYisraeli, Gaon Yisrael, the greatness of Israel. Hasgula Yisraeli, the treasure of Yisraeliut, of Israelitesness. Hakadoshah Yisrael, Nashem Chuzakit, is stronger, but Umetz et Umetz, strength, Kvua, established. Zu Briut, that's health, Bechosen, and strength, Bishvileinu. This is Chul Lechol Alam Kulo. And it's good for everybody, the whole world. Shakolet, Lenin, Nasa, Yoter, Yoter, Yisraeli. If we're more Jewish, Yoter, Yoter, Yahaduti. More Yisraeli, more Jewish. Yoter, Yoter, Pinimi, more and more Pinimi, internal. Bechosen, Yisraeli, Yahaduti, Pinimi, Kan, Be'eret Yisrael. The more Jewish Israeli we are in Israel, Zeh Osher Gadol Yisrael v'la'olam. And if you'd ask me, by the way, then for sure we went away from this. Mm-hmm. Because we stopped focusing on making Israel more Israeli, more Jewish, more Israeli, and we started wondering what we're going to force the Gula to end, the Gula to come. We can force it. It says you can't. It's not a question of forcing it, it's a question of bringing us to our natural state. And the more you bring us to your natural state, it'll happen on its own.
Is this what he is saying on an individual basis, or is this collectively as Klal Yisrael?
Yes, and yes.
Because the tefillin is a individual statement.
Right, both.
He didn't say, right.
He says, you know, it's like everything else. It's like anything else in the world, right? You know, does democracy depend on the individual support, or is it a national movement?
Let me tell you why I'm asking.
And the answer is, the Am Yisrael depends on every individual. You know what I'm saying? Without every individual doing his part, you don't have Am Yisrael.
I'll tell you why Rav Safra, the way he's learning the Kosari, he does it. It almost comes out that the individual is lost to the betterment of the Klal. The individual doesn't stand for anything, and his focus always is, you know what, Am. I'm Skula, you're Arla Goyim, because you're an Am, not an individual. That's nothing. You do your mitzvahs, so you're doing it. Who cares? If you did
say who cares?
Basically, yes, because he said like this.
I think what he's trying to say is if you do it as an individual, then it's important for me to do my mitzvahs, that's an act of selfishness.
Said, no matter what you do, Rabbi, you're not a Kohen, you're not going to do all the mitzvahs.
Right.
So in order to do all Taryag mitzvahs, the only way is an Am.
Correct.
And so if you're only doing part, you're not doing. Because you're not there. If Klal Yisrael is doing everything, right, now you're being the kind of Torah.
Correct. The machine is running. If you're just right.
If you're just doing it on your own, very nice, but you're not really doing anything.
Well, you're not accomplishing. You're not, I wouldn't say not doing anything, but you're not allowing the Am to fulfill its potential.
And his focus is like Matan Torah. this everybody came together, you know, everybody as a single unit, and that Klal Yisrael got Mater as an Am got it,
so I would,
not as individuals.
Yes. All right, so I would say if you're so motivated, I would recommend take this chapter, at least the Bible Cook, and read it again like 3 or 4 times. You have to let it wash over you instead of seep into the crevices of your mind, because that's where it's going to sit. You're not going to have a. Oh,
right.
These are things that are, you know, and you have to be open to it. And if you're open to it, then it happens. It's that much better.